If you can turn, please, with me in God's Word to Luke chapter 10, reading at verse 25 down to verse 37. The Word of God says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbour as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he willingly, to justify himself, said unto Jesus, Who is my neighbour? Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave it them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I am come again, I will repay thee. Now which of these three, thinkest thou, was a good neighbour unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. We'll just unite together in prayer. You pray that God will have a word for you today as we preach the gospel. You pray that God will speak to you, challenge you. And we pray that if you are not saved, or if you present yourself to be religious as this man, that you will hear God's word and you'll come to Christ this day. Father in heaven, we realize, Lord, we come to thy word. And Father, we confess, O God, we come to the most solemn part of all our meetings. It is the preaching of the gospel. Father, we realize, O God, I stand as this preacher between the living and the dead. And therefore, Lord, we ask of thee that thou wilt give grace in the preaching of the word. We pray, O God, if there be men and women, young people in this room without Christ, without a Saviour, O Lord, we pray thou wilt speak with that voice that wakes the dead. Lord, visit the dead tombs, we pray, and bring life. We pray as well, O God, if there be any who are religious without Christ, O God, we pray that they will see their emptiness and be brought to a saving knowledge of Christ. And for thy people, O God, help us to rejoice in thy so great salvation. Grant us help to praise thee. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. The verses recorded in Luke chapter 10, verses 30 to 37, are in fact Christ answering 2 questions by a certain lawyer. The man described by the term lawyer is actually a reference to a member of a group of Jewish religious leaders who regarded themselves as being experts in matters containing to the law of God, known as scribes. It's interesting to read in verse 25 that the motive behind the lawyer's questions was to tempt or to test Christ, hoping to find in his response some fault, some inconsistency with his message in order to charge him with blasphemy. The first question was asked in verse 25, and a wonderful question it is, and I hope you ask this question today. What should I do to inherit eternal life? In answering the question, Christ pointed this man to God's law, as to what is written in the law. Remember, this man claims to be an expert in God's law. And so the Lord points him back to the law. Well, what does the law of God say? And of course, the man responds. And Christ was showing this man that eternal life is on the basis of a perfect obedience to God's law, out of a perfect love for God, and then a perfect love for one's neighbor or one's fellow man. And then Christ said in verse 28, "Do this, and thou shalt live." Now, of course, the lawyer, he was convinced that he had given a perfect obedience to the law's requirements. He believed himself to have perfectly loved God with all his heart and to love his neighbor as himself. But to demonstrate his obedience, to show that he was flawless and to justify himself, to try and prove that he had obeyed the law perfectly, he then asked Christ another question in verse 29. "Who is my neighbor?" You see, to this Jewish lawyer, his neighbor was restricted to his fellow Jew, meaning anyone who was not a Jew, in his estimation, was not his neighbor, and therefore was not required to love any person. So if they were a Gentile, and remember, a Gentile is a non-Jew. So if you are a Jew today, then we say shalom. But if you are not a Jew, then you are a Gentile. And I would imagine all of us here then are Gentiles. We are the heathen. And so this man, if you are a Gentile, you're not his neighbor. But in his estimation, only if someone is a Jew, then that is his neighbor. And so since this lawyer, this Jewish scribe, loved his fellow Jew, he believed himself worthy of eternal life. However, this Jewish religious lawyer received the shock of his life when Christ began to teach a parable about a certain Samaritan. Now, we spoke yesterday in our gospel mission on the parable of the lost sheep. And remember, a parable simply is an earthly story with a heavenly or eternal meaning. And it means to go alongside, to throw alongside. And so you're teaching a lesson, and then you give an illustration, you give a parable, you give an object lesson to help with that truth, that people will have it in their minds clear and plain. And so the Lord told this parable of a certain Samaritan. This Samaritan was a Gentile, not a Jew. And when seeing a Jewish man in great need, having been robbed, wounded, left by thieves, and then forsaken by two other of his Jewish friends, namely a priest and also a Levite, who these men represented the whole Jewish system, just by bypassing that man, the Samaritan then stopped to aid this man, to take care of this man, and he showed himself to be a true neighbor. He demonstrated love in action. He demonstrated that he cared for this Jewish man in need. And therefore, the Lord finished by asking the lawyer in verse 36, "Now which of these three thinkest was neighbor unto the man that fell among the thieves?" Which of the three was a good neighbor to the wounded Jewish man? Was it the priest who just walked by? Was it the Levite who just passed by? Or was it the Samaritan, the one who the Jews despised, the one who was not a Jew, the one who's despised and rejected, and yet he's the one who stopped to help his neighbor? Which one of those three was a good neighbor? And then the Lord answered in verse 37, or the man answered in verse 37, "Him that showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said, "Go and do thou likewise." And Christ's words exposed this lawyer's pride, because the lawyer had to confess that the Samaritan who he despised proved to be a true neighbor when the priest and the Levite, who were fellow Jews, failed their fellow Jew. But also, his self-righteousness was exposed to show he did not keep the whole law perfectly as he claimed. Remember, this man claimed to have eternal life based on perfectly keeping the law of God. I love God and I love my neighbor. Well, Christ exposed the sin of his heart, the pride of his life, to show that you do not love God with all your heart and you do not love your fellow man. And therefore, you do not keep the law perfectly. You're a sinner like all men, because no man can keep the law perfectly. To offend in one is to break the whole law. And maybe there's someone here today, you say yourself, well, I'm going to heaven. I have eternal life because I believe to be a religious person. I believe to love God perfectly and I believe to love my fellow man perfectly. Well, your heart will be exposed by this message to show that none can give a perfect obedience to God, because there's no person in this room who loves God perfectly, without sin, without fault, without fail. Have you used the Lord's name in vain this week? You've sinned against God. You have not loved God perfectly. Have you put something in the place of God? You have not loved God perfectly. Have you worshipped something more than God this week? Spent time with something more than God this week? Then you have failed. You do not love God perfectly. Do you love your fellow man? Have you had a bad thought this week about somebody? Have you said something wrong about somebody this week? You do not love your fellow man perfectly. And therefore, you are a sinner. You have broken God's law. And that's what the Lord is showing this man. This man was not as perfect as he thought himself to be, or as he claimed himself to be. And he did not have eternal life as he thought he had earned. Rather, he was a sinner. He had broken God's law. He was guilty and he was in need of eternal life. The lawyer understood if he were to give a perfect obedience to the law, then he would do for the Samaritan what the Samaritan had done for the Jew in the parable. And that's why the Lord said, go and do thou likewise. But by the pride of his own heart, had the roles been reversed, the lawyer, this religious scribe, would have walked past the Samaritan and left him to die, and therefore proving he did not love God with all his heart or love his fellow man with a perfect heart. And so Christ, by teaching the parable of this, as it's known, the good Samaritan or the certain Samaritan or the compassionate Samaritan, Christ was showing himself to be that good Samaritan, because he alone is the one who gives perfect obedience to the law of God that sinners are unable to give. He alone both loved God perfectly and loved man perfectly. He alone can do what sinners cannot do, and that is give perfect obedience to God's law by its commands and to meet its penalty. And therefore, when your hope of eternal life is found in Christ alone, by his perfect obedience to God's law, then God will view and God will treat you as having obeyed his law perfectly. In and of ourselves, we are imperfect. We break God's law day by day, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is, every single day we come short of the glory of God. Every single day we sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and we make God a liar. And therefore, our acceptance is not based on what I can do for God, but what he has done for me in his beloved Son. When we have faith in Christ, God sees you, believer, as having obeyed his law, because you are accepted in him. Christ obeyed the law on your behalf and in your place. And therefore, he obeyed the law as if he were you, and God looks upon you as he does Christ. But sinner, that means God views you and treats you outside of Christ. You're wounded, forsaken, and condemned, left to die. And so here is this parable of the good Samaritan. Notice some simple thoughts about this Samaritan. Notice the coming of the good Samaritan. Verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. On the Jericho road, the thieves left this Jewish man. Now, why it doesn't say this man is a Jewish man, yet we believe it to be that way because of the whole point of the illustration. It is the Samaritan who helps another man. And so they left this man near dead, near at the point of death. The priest walked by him and the Levites passed by him. They didn't even come near. They only looked upon this man and they passed by, as the Bible says, the Levite who passed by on the other side. However, a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. Verse 34, he went to him. And don't let those words pass you by. They're so easy just to read on. But he went to him. He came where he was. In other words, he drew near to this man in need, this man who's wounded, this man who's left for dead, this man who everybody just passes by. And yet there's a Samaritan who comes and he sees this man wounded in great need and he comes near to him in order to help him. And notice, when he saw him, he had great compassion on him. Verse 33. He that showed mercy on him. And so this Samaritan drew near to this man to intervene, to give help, because the Samaritan could see and understand what this wounded man needed. He could see that this man had been left for dead and he needed life. He was a man without hope, forsaken, abandoned, wounded, beaten, and left to die. And so in order for the Samaritan to meet this man at the point of his need, he came where he was. He had to identify with this man. He had to dwell with this man for a certain time in order to take care of him. And we read that, don't we? Verse 35, on the morrow he departed. And so after a period of time, this Samaritan, he leaves that man. He was dwelling with this man for a certain time. He took care of him. He had compassion on him. He met his need and then he left. Now remember, the man who is hopeless, the man who is helpless, we believe that to be a Jewish man. And remember, the whole point of this story is the Jews, who is this religious lawyer, and the Samaritans, they were enemies. Again, John chapter 4, the Samaritans and the Jews, they had no dealings with one another. And the Jews rejected the Samaritans. They scorned them, they hated them, and they despised them. Remember, the hostile was so strong that the Pharisees even called, and obviously Christ was a Jew, the Pharisees even blasphemed Christ, calling him in John 8 verse 48, thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil. And so that's how they saw the Samaritans, as devilish men. And so they see Christ and they say, you are Samaritan and a devil one. And so that shows you the hatred. And yet this Samaritan, he came to where this Jewish man, this other man, was in great need. He came to one who would have despised him, who would have shown no love towards him. And yet he came to help him. He came to tend to him and he had compassion on him. He didn't pass by. Rather, he stopped. He went to him and drew near. And what a picture we have of the Lord Jesus Christ, our good Samaritan, the one who comes where sinners are, wounded and bruised by the fall, those who are left facing death by their sin. He came to sinners who were hostile towards him, those who despised and rejected him. And yet he came and identified with sinners. He came to save. He dwelt among men for a period of time to do them the greatest good. And the greatest good that Christ did was by going to the cross and bearing the sin of sinners. He came to save. He demonstrated that he had compassion for hostile sinners who had no love for him, because Christ is despised and rejected of men. Again, he came from heaven to earth. He came to world to save sinners, as Roman tells us, whose foolish heart was darkened and who were haters of God. And therefore, believer, today, when you were lost in your sin, the Lord came near to you, and he drew near to you, and he identified with you, and he had compassion upon you. Because John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, herein is love, not that we love God, because we didn't. We despised him, we hated him. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Sinner, wounded, afflicted by the thieves of this world, stealing your life, your family, everything that you have, he comes to you in mercy to have compassion upon you, to spare you from death, to give you what you need, and that is life. And therefore, there's mercy with the Lord. The coming of the Samaritan, there was a man who came by, a man who went to him, a man had compassion upon him. And aren't you glad that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners? Because that's all we are. We are sinners. There's not anyone in this room better than anyone else, or anyone more deserving of heaven than anyone else. We all are equal, deserving eternal wrath. And yet Christ came into the world to save his enemies. Notice secondly, the compassion of the good Samaritan. But a certain Samaritan, verse 33, as he journeyed, came where he was, when he saw him, had compassion on him. If any of the three had a right to pass by this wounded man, it would have been the Samaritan. There was no reason he should stop. The priest went by, the Levite went by, and therefore, this Samaritan also had the right to pass by as well. Yet, he stopped and drew near. The word compassion here in the original Greek language is a strong word. It means to be moved with compassion. Same word as could be used, mercy. That's why the Lord says at the end, him that had mercy on him. That word mercy, compassion, pity. It's a word that deals with one inward part. Moving. It's a word that deals with action. In other words, it can't be ignored. In other words, when this Samaritan saw this man, he just couldn't pass by. He had to intervene. He had to draw near. He had compassion on him. He was moved to help this man. Remember, Christ is answering the lawyer's question. Verse 29, who is my neighbor? And that answer rests upon one's perfect love for the neighbor. And Christ is using this parable of the Samaritan's compassion towards a Jew to show that the Samaritan demonstrated a perfect love for his neighbor by acting on his behalf, and by doing so, exposed the lawyer's heart that he did not keep God's law perfectly. And he had not earned or deserved eternal life. Rather, he was a wretched man. He did not love his neighbor. But the Samaritan did. Again, pointing to Christ, the good Samaritan. And so by the parable of the Samaritan, his compassion, Christ is demonstrating his compassion upon sinners in spite of what he sees in them. When the Samaritan saw the Jewish man wounded by the roadside, he would have seen a horrible state. He would have seen a man beaten. Remember, he's on the Jericho Road. There are thieves on that road. And I don't know if you've ever been to Israel. I know some have been to Israel before. And there is this road, the Jericho Road. And I remember we were on it on a tour, and somebody had got robbed. I don't know whatever they had done or whatever was taken. I remember one of the ministers shouting out, "Ha! There are still thieves on the Jericho Road!" And all that. That's just by the way, you know, if you go, just watch yourself. But the point is this. You can imagine this man being wounded. The sight of it, it would have been a horrible sight. This man wounded, this man bruised, this man left to die. And yet the Samaritan's heart was moved with compassion. He looked upon that which was undesirable, that which was unrecognizable, that which was unclean. And that's a picture of redemption, as illustrated when the Lord had compassion upon the nation of Israel. In Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 4 to 8, when the nation and the described about that when a baby is born, the baby is covered in blood and all the other different things, and it maybe at start looks maybe an unattractive sight until it's cleaned. And so the Lord was showing Israel was like that. They were unclean, unattractive. "No, I pity thee to do any of these things unto thee, to have compassion on thee." And so there was nothing good in them. However, despite what the law saw, what the Lord, despite their undesirable state, the Lord had compassion upon the undesirable, the unclean, the unrecognizable. He had compassion upon them because he loved them. There was nothing in them, but he loved them. He saves sinners in spite of what he sees in them. And therefore he will save you. The parable of the Samaritan, Christ is demonstrating his compassion upon sinners, even though they have nothing to offer him. Remember, walking on this Jericho road from Jerusalem, this man has been robbed by thieves. He has been stripped of his garments. And it's clear from verse 35, this Samaritan knew that this man who's wounded, been left, everything's been taken from him, his garments, his clothes, he's naked, he has nothing to offer. He's penniless. In other words, whenever the Samaritan would help this man and pay for this man, he knows that this Samaritan, this other man, Jewish man, can't give him anything back. He's not helping him and saying, "Oh, by the way, I'll send you the bill next week, or meet me another place because you owe me some money." He knows fine rightly, when I help this man has nothing to pay me back. So what did I do? What should I do? Should I just go and say, "Well, do you know what? I'm going to be out of pocket here. Forget that," and go on and hope somebody else passes? No. He draws near to help this man because he knows this man's bankrupt. He knows he can get nothing in return. Yet out of compassion, out of love, out of pity, he wants to help this man in need. This man could contribute nothing to his care. He had nothing to give the Samaritan, the man who would help him. He was without money, without price. And yet the Samaritan showed compassion on him. And therefore Christ shows compassion upon sinners, though they have nothing to offer him. By nature, we are bankrupt, penniless, robbed, nothing to offer Christ because of our sin. We are spiritual paupers in great need. By our fall into sin, mankind has been robbed, stripped of our original garments of beauty as righteousness, holiness, knowledge, and goodness. Sin has left us with nothing before God. We've lost the blessing of God. There's nothing we can give God. There's nothing we can pay for eternal life. And therefore, it brings us back to Christ. His compassion upon us is not based on what we can give him. Rather, it's based on what he can give us. And that is his eternal riches. That is redemption. That is gospel blessings. We have nothing to offer him, but he has everything to offer us, because there's none but Christ can satisfy. He is all you need, sinner. He is sufficient. He's the bread of heaven, the water of life, the light of the world. He forgives all sin. And therefore, all you need today is Christ as your Savior to have your sins forgiven. The compassion of the good Samaritan. Let me tell you this. Christ had every right to bypass any one of us. But the very fact he stopped to have compassion shows his great love toward us. None of us in this room deserve to have our sins forgiven. None of us in this room deserve the Lord's mercy. Rather, if we were to get what we truly deserve, it would be eternal damnation, because the wages of sin is death. Yet the gift of God is eternal life. And so here is the compassion of the Good Samaritan. Notice also the conquest of the Good Samaritan. Christ, in his parable, describes both the priest and the Levite passing by this wounded man. Remember, we said at the start, this is all about the law. And so these two men, the priest and the Levite, they represent the law. The priest in Israel was a teacher of the law, whereas the Levite, they related to the ceremonial system. And therefore, these two men represent the law. And so what you have is the priest and the Levite, they look on this man who's wounded, and they leave him to die. They can do nothing for this man. They just pass by this man. They looked on him with judgment. They were unable to lift him up, unable to deliver him. They just walked by, leaving him in the state in which they found him. In the truest sense, this wounded man received no help from those who represented the law. However, the Good Samaritan came to this wounded man. He came to deliver. He came to do what the priest and the Levite failed to do. The Samaritan did for the poor man facing death what the priest and the Levite representing the law failed to do, which was to bind up his wounds and give deliverance. The priest and the Levite, representing the law, just walked past this man, could do nothing for this man, but just looked at him in his wounded state and left him in that state to perish and just walked on by. See the whole picture. Alarm bells ought to be going off, and I see many it is, and that's good. I can see the expressions in the face. We're all on the same page with this, and that's good. Because we can see the whole picture, the sight of this priest and the Levite passing by this man. It's all a picture to show the law cannot save. All the law can do is look upon you, sinner, with judgment. All the law can do is show you your wounded state. The law cannot save, but the law condemns, and therefore the law passes you by. Galatians 3, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every man that continueth not which are written in the book of the law to do them. And so in passing by the sinner, the law teaches that the perfection for the law is based on another outside. And that's found in Christ. Galatians 4, verse 5, he is the one who redeems from or those who are under the law. And so all the law can do, sinner, is condemn you and leave you in your state of sin, ready to perish for eternal damnation. But the Good Samaritan is the one who comes along, and the Samaritan is the one who can give life. The Samaritan is the one who can meet the need. The law walks by. The law leaves us in the state, but the Samaritan, Christ, he comes and he gives life, he gives salvation. And therefore, with him, there's no condemnation. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Good Samaritan. He does for wounded sinners what the law cannot do. And he is able to save you from all your sin. Finally and briefly, the cost by the Good Samaritan. Verses 34 and 35. The Samaritan paid the full cost for this man. He provided all that he needed. He would do for this man what the priest and the Levite failed to do. Verse 34. He bound up his wounds to give healing. He poured in the oil to refresh and restore the skin. He poured in the wine for cleansing. Verse 35, He said to the man when he took him to him, I will come again and repay thee. Whatsoever you would spend, I will repay. And so what a picture of Christ who heals the wounded, who restores sinners, those who have been ruined by the fall. Christ paid the full cost for bankrupt sinners by his perfect life and his atoning death. He is the only one who obeyed the law. He obeyed the commands of the law perfectly by his life. And by his death, he met the penalty of the law. And he comes where you are because he is alone able to heal you. What has been lost by sin, he is able to restore fully, that it's never lost again. He's able to cleanse from sin, to clear the charges, because he has paid the debt. He has paid the full charge. He has paid our sin debt with his life and with his death. Jesus paid it all. And therefore, when he said, it is finished, it is perfected, it is accomplished, there's nothing you can do. And this Samaritan knew this wounded man could do nothing to help, to assist, to pay anything. But yet the Samaritan took care of the whole cost. And therefore we can never perfectly obey God's law. We can never earn eternal life. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he came and he paid the full price. He did what we could never do. He fulfilled all righteousness. He's opened up that way back into the presence of God. Therefore today, will you come to Jesus Christ and receive him as Savior? Will you trust in him this day and have your sin forgiven? He is the Good Samaritan. May the Lord write his word upon our heart for his name's sake. Amen.